here's the beautiful thing about it. You can develop an internal motivation. You can develop an internal drive.
Winning habits, winning routines, and a winning mindset.
You're the main character of your own life story.
Welcome to the Susan Sly Project, where entrepreneurs rule, startups launch, and the side hustle becomes the main hustle. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Susan Sly.
Well, hey, everyone, wherever you are in the world, I just want to give you a massive shout out and thank you for being here. This show continues to grow week after week. And just remember, we have new episodes dropping on iTunes, Spotify, and YouTube every Sunday night. And I want to acknowledge some special countries. We're seeing Philippines is now making the top 20 list. New Zealand, you just actually went above Australia. And I know there's a big rivalry there. And shouts out to everyone in the UK. You continue to maintain your top three positions. So congratulations, everyone. I have a question for you. How do you stay motivated? So you've got a business or a career. You're thinking of starting a business. And motivation is a big part of it. And Zig Ziglar and Jim Rohn, I knew Jim. He was a mentor to me. I shared the stage with him on three occasions, including the last time he spoke live. They had an ongoing argument. What's more important, education or motivation? And Zig used to say it's motivation. Jim would say it's education. One day they keep on going. And Jim finally said to Zig, he said, listen, it's education. Because if someone's not educated and they're motivated, you just have a motivated idiot. Well, whether you believe that to be true or not, that is a true story. And my guest today is really and truly a master of motivation. He not only hosts the absolutely incredible motivation show on C-Suite Radio, he has worked with, check out this list after read it, Michael Jackson, Mark Victor Hansen, who's been here on the show, Don Miguel Ruiz from The Four Agreements, Dr. Richard Carlson, Ivana Trump, Ayanna VanSant, Les Brown, no less, Dr. Brian Weiss. The list goes on and on and on. And he literally has dedicated his career to serving people. He's serving right now speakers and authors. He's serving C-suite executives, solopreneurs. I mean, it's just amazing. So Eli Marcus, welcome to the show. Thanks for being here.
Well, thank you, Susan, for that great introduction. I am pumped and I am inspired. And let's get our listeners motivated and inspired to be their greatest self.
Well, Eli, I want to jump right in. You know, you are so accomplished that people, I'm sure, think you just came out of the womb self-motivated. And you're like, I'm off, I'm going. But my first question is, where does your motivation come from on a day-to-day basis?
Well, you know, I consider myself someone who had more lack than most people. You know, Tony Robbins talks about himself living in a 600 square foot flat and being overweight. You know, you can move into a larger apartment. You can lose weight. Les Brown talks about himself being educably a tough one when people label you like that, but you don't have to accept people's labels. However, I had this debilitating handicap called shyness. And, you know, I always looked at everybody else having all the fun. And so I decided, you know, something, I want to start having some fun. So I started living in the bookstore, picked up every self-help book I possibly could, and just found a way to be a different kind of a person than I thought that I was. I thought I was a shy person. I thought I had to be shy for the rest of my life. And I found out, guess what I found, Susan?
What?
I found out that we all can pull out another side from us. In my case, it was that extroverted introvert. So I wasn't just an introvert. I'm also an extrovert. And I think everybody has a little bit of that in them. Even the shyest people actually have that extroverted side. They can just learn how to pull it out of themselves. And so I had a great desire to be something different. I knew that staying shy or thinking that I was shy was the wrong label. And there was something better in the world for me.
Mm. I love you brought up a couple of really key things, because so often people have said to me, oh, it must be easy for you to get on stage, you know, and speak with Tony Robbins or to speak with Jack Canfield or, you know, any of those people. And what I've said time and again is I'm actually very introverted and people are shocked, but I'm a selective extrovert. And often, not of course during COVID times, but when I would do a large speaking event, Eli, I would go and do the event. And then, you know, you go backstage and people are there and people are chatting. And then if I wasn't out signing books and meeting and greeting people, as soon as all that was over, I'd be back at my hotel room with a glass of wine, putting on HGTV and not talking to anyone for the next several hours because it took so much out of me. Plus, I wanted to give to the audience. But even cocktail parties or meet and greets, I find those things really daunting. But I can do the 20,000, you know, people. How does someone do that? And, you know, in life, in business, in sales, we have to channel our inner extrovert, as you call it. So what tips would you give to someone to be able to do that?
First of all, you know, Johnny Carson was a lot like that. You know, he can stand in front of 35 million people on national TV, but put him in a cocktail event. He was a fish out of water. He couldn't wait to leave. So it just goes to show you, Michael Jackson, you know, when he was on stage, he lit up the universe. But get him off stage, he was painfully shy. He wouldn't even recognize the same person. So it all starts with belief system. You have to start believing in your own greatness. You have to believe that just not the celebrities are great. You get on a stage and you got Tony Robbins and you've got Les Brown and you've got all these great legends. And you start believing that they're the only ones who are supposed to be great or allowed to be great, and you already lost. So you have to have a belief in yourself, and you got to find that belief. You got to pull it out within you. Tony Robbins, in his book, Awaken That Giant Within. We have that giant within. We all do, regardless of what you might have believed when you were younger or somebody told you. And I wasn't told such very nice things when I was younger. We're all, you know, we're all teased when we're kids. And you can either buy into that and stay that way for a lifetime, or you can pull that great person within outside of yourself. But, you know, I like to think of what Joel Osteen says, you know, and he talks about we have the DNA from the Almighty, and the DNA of the Almighty, the Almighty is not making junk. You know, just to get here on this earth makes you great. So just pull that inner winner out. And if you can't do it by yourself, find a mentor. And I think that's a fast route to do it. Listen to a great show like Susan Sly's show. Because, you know, motivation wears off. You get a dose of it and then you say, what happened? I was at this event last week and it's just not working for me. It doesn't work that way. It's like water. It's, you know, you need daily sustenance. And so you got to get that by being constantly motivated and inspired. Find whoever inspires you. Susan Sly shows, the motivation show. Tony Robbins, or a combination of all of the above.
And don't you think, Eli, I love what you just shared, you know, find the motivation. The belief is in there. It's just got to go digging. Don't you think it's daily? Some people think, oh, when I find my motivation, it's like finding like a huge 12 karat diamond ring that you just wear it all the time. You've got to go hunting every day. You know, wouldn't you agree with that?
Yeah. You know, Simon Sinek talks about, you know, find your why. You know, what is your why? Well, Susan Slice, you got five kids. How do you do it? It's an amazing thing because other people are using excuses. They don't have five kids. You've got five kids and you're lighting up the world. So it just goes to show you, if you put your mind to it and if you have a strong enough why, accomplish anything on this earth. And you just get find a way to believe in yourself, because you are great. We're all great. We're all meant to do something amazing on this earth. We just have to believe it and apply it. You know, the Napoleon Hill, of course, in his classic book, Think and Grow Rich, you know, he talks about thinking, just thinking. If you can think it and believe, you know, if you can conceive it and believe it, you can achieve it. And it's really that simple. CBA, conceive, believe, achieve.
You've mentioned some classic books, some amazing speakers. I want to go back to Awaken the Giant Within. So when I lost everything in 2000, I was homeless and living on my brother-in-law's sofa. As soon as I got my first apartment, I think it was, oh gosh, I think it was like 540 square feet, Eli. And it was so teeny tiny. I remember, like, it was kind of like living room, bedroom, like kitchen all in one place. And if I cooked anything, it's like, that's it. The sheets smell like, you know, whatever it was I was cooking. But the first book I got was Awaken the Giant Within. And the thing with Tony is there's always a deeper level. There's always a deeper level. And just when we think, oh, okay, there, he shows you there's no there. There's a whole next level of what is possible. And you know, you mentioned some incredible, incredible people. How many personal development books have you read?
Over a thousand. Yeah, I think I may have a Guinness World Record in that. And I'm still, if I grabbed over to my bookshelf right now, you wouldn't believe it. And since I do a show, I always make sure that people send me their books, and they're shocked when I read them. And like, wow, you've asked me like questions that no one's asked me, because yeah, I said, I read the book. I'm a student. I'm always a student. As Tony Robbins says, he uses what he calls the CANI principle, the acronym CANI, constant and never ending improvement. No matter what level you're at, whether you're the master or you're not, every day you should seek constant and never ending improvement, even if it's only 1% improvement.
That's so beautiful. I love that. 1,000 personal development books. And there are people who are like, I'm going to watch Real Housewives of New Jersey, or I'm going to, like, I know the Masked Singer. Why don't you press pause on that and start reading? So I'm like you, Eli, I'm an avid reader. So this is a flash question. I love to just have fun with my guests. And when I was preparing for the show, everyone listening all over the world, I was so excited to interview Eli, like, beside myself. So I'm going to throw you a pass and you can receive this pass. But how many of those books have you read more than once? And can you name some of them that you have read more than once?
Well, that's a great question. Some of them I have read 3 or 4 times, like The Psychology of Winning. One of my mentors, Dennis Waitley, who's written about 14 books, including The Seeds of Greatness, Empires of the Mind. But think about it, you know, the title, sometimes the title in itself is extraordinary. The Psychology of Winning. Don't we all want to win? How many Olympic medalists are remembered for their silver or their bronze medal? It's the Olympic gold medalists. I just interviewed Scott Hamilton, the 1984 Sarajevo Olympic gold medalist for ice skating, the most famous male skater in history. And he talks about the opportunities that have opened not only for him, but for the people that he wants to help. And if he didn't have a gold medal, he wouldn't have the platform. So it's important to win, not just for yourself, but to make a change in the world. You know, as Gandhi says, you know, be the change in the world, you know, that you want to see. And how could you do that if you're not having the platform? So you got to win.
So that concept of some people are misinformed because they think winning means that I have to beat someone. When I read The Psychology of Winning, it was, I'm going to date myself, Eli. So it was back in 1990, I guess, 91, that I first discovered Dr. Dennis Waitley, because I was taking a 4th-year university sports psychology course with Dr. Susan Natras, who was an Olympic medalist in the biathlon. And this whole concept of winning, I was a professional athlete until I was diagnosed with MS in 2000. So I gave up my pro triathlon career. But one of the biggest things that I learned over the course of time, initially it was about beating someone else to get on a podium. Toward the later part of my career, it was about competing against myself. And it didn't matter. And I used to pray. I was like, God, please help me do the very best I can today. It's about me and me. And that's it. You know, it's not about the other girls who are out there on the course. And it really changed the game. So Psychology of Winning, what else have you read more than once? Because I want everyone to like go on Amazon and buy books today.
Well, I like Don't Sweat the Small Stuff. And the subtitle is equally as important. And it's all small stuff. Yeah. Because at the end of the day, we are sweating too many things. And we are getting illnesses because we're stressed out. Particularly today, every new day, there's a new social media platform or something else we got to learn. The learning curve's insane. You know, the old days, all you had is a typewriter and you just typed and that was it. You didn't have 19 different social media options.
How many listeners remember typewriters? Like, you know, just in that, if you are whatever platform you're on, just tag Eli and I if you remember a typewriter. And I'll know that you got to this point in the show. I remember getting a typewriter, Eli, for my 10th birthday.
Yeah, right. Good old days. So, you know, as someone like yourself, again, with 5 kids and all the stuff that you've got going on, if you sweated the small stuff, I mean, you'd be a wreck. So the only way that you can function is really understand that it's, you know, basically all small stuff, except for the really, really, really 1% of things in life that, you know, like death. But other than that, what does it all mean 5 years from now? So I use that test with myself. What does it all mean 5 years from now? So you got to, you know, have a mind that's not always a monkey mind that's all over the place and all, you know, because people are not going to relate to you as well. You know, you're not going to make as many friends and influence people. And that goes to the next book, Dale Carnegie's book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. Mm-hmm. These are all the classics, you know, because at the end of the day, what's it all about? What's it really about is making friends out there. So I want to be remembered for the difference I made in people's life, not for the money that I stuffed in my pocket. Because what's it, you know, what are we on this earth for? You know, we're all going to return it all anyway. So who are we touching? And if you can touch people and win friends and influence people and make people's lives better, everything else flows to you. If your goal is money, it's a bad goal to have. Your goal should be making a difference for other people. So when you're an athlete and you're out there, you're really only competing with one person. You're competing with yourself to be the best that you can be. And once you realize that, you're just trying to do, you know, the best that you can do, because you don't want to look back 25 years later and say, what if I actually put a little bit more time into the swimming part of that triathlon? What would have happened? You don't want to look back and regret. So you want to put it all out on the table. And look, if that gets you second place, well, you've done it all. You can sleep at night. But if you've gotten to second place because you know you left something on the table, that's a very bad feeling.
Oh, I love it. I love it. So Psychology of Winning, Don't Sweat the Small Stuff, How to Win Friends and Influence People, all incredible books. I have a feeling you have a couple more you want to throw on that list.
One more I got to throw in there. Feel the Fear in Any Way, written by Dr. Susan Jeffers. Because the thing that stops all of us from getting what we want in life, ultimately, no matter how we label it, and a lot of it's subconscious, it's fear at the end of the day. You can say, oh, I'm not really that fearful. No, you are. That's the reason you're not doing it. You're fearing success. You're fearing failure. You're feeling you're going to look foolish. And at the end of the day, you have to dance as if nobody's watching. And that's one of my favorite expressions. When you can get to the point in life where you can just dance and not worry about anybody watching, you become your most authentic self. When you start worrying about how people are going to perceive you, react to you, you'll never get to the promised land. You'll never catch the ball. You'll never get on stage. So you have to get out there, feel the fear, and do it anyway. The fear is going to be there, and it's okay. We all fear it. We all feel it. And even if we're out there speaking for 20 years, we still get back on the stage, and it's like the old Jackie Gleason, hamana, 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 hamana. But if you can feel it, and each time that you go out there and you succeed, you become less fearful. You know, it becomes part of your DNA that, you know something? I think I got a knack for this. I think I can actually do this, even though I thought I couldn't. So you have to keep testing yourself. Keep having this, even if it's small wins, even if you're speaking in front of five people, start that way. Till you build up enough, becomes part of your chemistry, chemistry of winning, chemistry of fear is not going to kill me. You start to realize that.
You said so many powerful things about, you know, you leaving it all out there. And then, you know, this concept of, you know, really not having regret. Like, did you give your best effort? Did you try your best? My daughter ran her first, one of my girls ran her first mile, Eli, on the track. And I sent her a quote from Steve Prefontaine that morning. And then I said to her, I said, Sari, which is her name. I said, Sari, listen, you have an opportunity, because at this stage, she's a sophomore. At this stage, the girls who are running, they've all trained the same. They've basically eaten the same. They're doing the same stretches, doing the same things. But the ones who win are the ones who are willing to not leave anything undone on the track. And it's the same thing that's true in life, in our marriages, in our friendships, in all of it. This is such a great book list. And I'm super grateful to you, because I was thinking about books that I've read multiple times. Think and Grow Rich, The Richest Man in Babylon, The Alchemist. The Science of Getting Rich by Wallace D. Wattles. These are all like really old books.
Classics.
And right now I'm reading, Tom Ziegler is a friend of mine, and I'm reading Zig Ziglar's book, Goals, which I don't know how old this book is. And it's amazing how with these books, whether it's on the mindset of motivation or wealth or whatever, that these principles just don't change. You produce an event for Dr. Ayanla Van Sant. And she wrote a book called In the Meantime. And, yep. And I think at one point I'm going to do a show called Books That Changed My Life, because that book really, at the darkest point when, I had lost a business, my marriage fell apart, I was diagnosed with MS all in a 16-week period. I was flipping channels and, Oprah came on, and Oprah had Dr. Van Sant on, and I had $300 in cash, and that was it. All of my bank accounts had been completely shut down. And I took part of that $300 in cash. This was before debit cards were a big thing. And I went to the bookstore and I bought that book as though my future depended on it. And, you know, and I love that we're having this conversation about books. You working with such remarkable people, what are some of the keynotes of people who everyday folks would say they have become really successful? Because modeling is so important. If you want to achieve at a certain level, it's so important. Like you said, mentors, like modeling people who've had that success. So whether it's Ayanla Van Sant or Michael Jackson or Mark Victor Hansen, who's a beautiful mutual friend of ours, what are some of the tenets of the most successful people that you've had the privilege to work with?
It's a great question. You know, and there is commonality within pretty much every successful person. The first thing is visualization. First thing I think of now, it goes back to a gentleman by the name of Bo Eason, who was a football player. His brother was Tony Eason, who played for the New England Patriots before this guy by the name of Tom Brady. and what Bo said is that when he was a young kid, he actually drew a picture of himself and he visualized him knocking balls down because he was playing defense on the football. He was like a cornerback. And so that visualization he looked at every single day. And he was a small guy. He didn't fit the prototype of what a NFL cornerback would be, not even close. Nobody in his neighborhood believed that he would be able to do that. But he believed it, and he put it down and he visualized it. So you do get what you tend to visualize. And if you don't visualize anything, you tend to get nothing. You basically get what you think about most often, which, of course, one of my mentors, Earl Nightingale, talks about classically, you tend to get what you think about most often.
Yeah.
And so another tenet is from our mutual friend, Tom Ziegler's father, Zig Ziegler. And he says, if you help enough other people get what they want, they will help you get what you want. It's very simple, isn't it?
Yeah.
But most people, when you go to a card exchange or you meet them, they're very fast to tell you what they do first. And you should always let the other person talk. Take a greater interest in them. It'll naturally flow back to you. And if it doesn't, well, maybe it's the wrong person and you move on. But most people tend to give back what they get. So if you give them attention, let them talk about themselves and then see if you can help them along without having to have an agenda, because we're so agenda-based. How about doing something without agenda first and let the relationship flow from there?
Most
people do the opposite.
That service piece is so huge, and to serve without an agenda and just to have that. It's easy to talk about trust and faith. I have my purple pen because I'm taking notes with Eli. So
it's my favorite color.
If you didn't see the show,
no coincidence.
Mark and I have known Mark for a long time, maybe 15 years. And Mark was the first person who taught me about purple pens and writing victory. So Eli, this is how quirky I am. I only use purple pens, and this is a Bic round tip pen. I'm not paid by Bic or anything, but I buy them in boxes because I only write in purple. So, you know,
see the purple on my shirt.
Yes. You know how highly I think of you because I got the purple pen out.
And I got to tell you my Mark Victor Hansen story. It's a classic. So back in 1999, I flew Mark Victor Hansen to New York City to give a course for my company. At the time, I was the CEO of a company called the Seminar Center. And after the event, he said, would you like to have breakfast with me, right? Now, when the author of Chicken Soup for the Soul says, would you like to have breakfast? There's only one answer. He's like, of course, Mark. So we sat for breakfast, and he asked me one of the most magical questions I've ever been asked. He says, Eli, he says, can you fill up the Meadowlands for me if I do an event with you? And I said to him, you mean that place in New Jersey that has 80,000 seats? He says, do you know any other Meadowlands? I said, no, I don't. So it didn't dawn on me at the time the largesse of that question, what it really meant, and how I, it took me a long time, many years to interpret it. And I realized, here's a man who visualized 1 billion books. The average person sells what? A couple of hundred books, right? They think they're going to sell millions, but they sell a couple of hundred. He's thinking a billion. No one has ever come even remotely close to that. Now he's over 600 million, right? So the point is that he thought so big. Now he sold 600 million. Does that make him a failure? Or does that make him a massive success still, right? He's fall short of the billion, but the game isn't over yet. And even if he never hits the billion, he set his bar so high that no one could reach even the lower level that he's achieved of that bar, you know? So that's the point that he was making, is let's think as big as we possibly can. Yeah, it's got 80,000 seats. If we fill 60,000 of them, is that a failure? That's a whole lot of seats. So it taught me a lot about thinking. And when people go and they tell me, well, I'm going to go into my boss. I think I need to get a raise. And they're going to go from 50,000 to 51,000. I said, 1,000? That's it? Like, that's all you think you're worth? Why? Well, you know, and they've got a million reasons. I said, do you think you're worth 51,000? You think you're worth only $1,000 more? Well, I think I'm worth a lot more, but I don't think they'll pay me. I said, ask for what you think you believe.
Mm.
You know, ask for 70,000. And if they end up giving you 60,000, guess what? They split it in the middle. You're a whole lot better than that 51. So aim a lot higher. People are aiming too low.
And it's so, I love that you're saying this, because it's, people just often don't ask. When I wrote my first book, The Have It All Woman, I visualized, to your point, that it would be endorsed by Jack Canfield and Mark Victor Hansen. And in those days, it was 2007, Jack wasn't really endorsing a lot of books, but I visualized their name on the cover, you know, they would be endorsing this book. And so when I asked them, it's your second point I made it about service. I said, here's why I'm writing this book. There are a lot of women out there who are struggling. They're struggling because they feel they don't deserve. And I want to give them, as someone who transcended illness and homelessness, not a book about Susan, but a book about how they can transcend their challenges. And they both said yes. So that was my first book that you know, was endorsed by Jack and Mark. And I think, Eli, to your point, you know, it's so beautiful. It's like, you've just got to ask. You've got to think big. And that's so powerful. Now, I know there are so many things I want to ask you, but I know you're thinking really big right now and you're working on a project. And I would love for you to share what you're working on, especially to empower the speaker community and really serve this community. Because a lot of my friends who are speakers, COVID happened and it's like, like, what are they going to do? Right. And so tell everyone what you're working on.
Well, you know, there are a lot of people freaking out for sure on the COVID world. But, you know, the point is that it doesn't really make a difference what's happening externally. It only matters what's happening internally. It doesn't make a difference what's happening in the world. It's only where your mind decides to go to. So a lot of the speakers think that their opportunities are lost because they can't get in front of people. But you know something? There's this whole thing called the virtual world. You will be able to get in front of people soon enough, and you've got to set the foundation. So sometimes, you know, God throws things in front of us so that we can slow down a little bit, rethink things, re-engineer ourselves, and get ready for, you know, that bigger comeback. You know, setback is a setup for a comeback, which was written, a book written by my friend Willie Jolly, which is another great book. So you got to set yourself up. So yeah, we develop a digital publication, Speakers and Experts Magazine. You can look it up at speakersandexpertsmagazine.com. And it's for anybody that wants to be a professional speaker. Now, all of us have the ability to be a professional speaker. We've all got some area of expertise. We just don't realize we can be paid for that expertise and paid pretty well. And all we got to do is just believe that we can be paid. You know, all we got to do is have that expertise and just go out there and market it. And you got to have a funnel and a place to bring the expertise. So we have this magazine that over 80,000 event, meeting, and corporate planners look at as a resource for where to find these speakers. And so there are opportunities. And, you know, I present opportunity. You present opportunity. Opportunity is anywhere. Do you hear it knocking? Often opportunity is knocking. We're not listening. It's like, No, it's knocking right now. You hear it? You got to jump on it. So I offer an opportunity for any person who desires to get on a stage, who realizes they won't die, even though they say that that's the number one fear over dying is public speaking. You will not die. Take it from me, a painfully shy guy. I went from painfully shy to the top sales guy in every organization that I worked for. Was I smarter? Was I more extroverted? Was I born with a silver spoon in my mouth? I had none of the advantages. I just outworked everybody. I just worked harder. I just started to believe that I was possible. And I did what the other guys weren't willing to do, or the other gals weren't willing to do. They went home at 5 o'clock. I went home at 7 o'clock. They had lunch from 12 to 1:30. I worked through the lunch hour. I had no excuses. I did whatever I needed to do. I had my eye on the prize. I had a goal, and I was going to do everything I possibly could to get to that goal. My goal was I wanted to be the number one person. Nothing was going to stop me. Not Sex and the City, not a rerun of any TV show like you talked about before. You know, I gave up those things. So if you want something bad enough, you got to be willing to give up things that are good, sometimes things that are great, sometimes things that are excellent, to have things that are tremendous.
Mm, so beautiful. And I'd love to have you back and do a show just on sales, because I know you and I love sales because we see it as such a way to serve, right? And so yes, that's a whole other episode. But I would love for everyone to go visit you on EliMarcusSuccess.com and on Facebook, The Motivation Show, and check out The Motivation Show. It's awesome. And on Instagram at EliMarcusSuccess.com. And if you're not following Eli, go ahead and hit the follow. I know you're on your phone anyway. And make sure you're following me too at Susan Sly. And Eli, thanks again for being here. You are phenomenal. And I took some pages of notes in purple pen. So thank you again.
Well, thank you. I think you're pretty extraordinary, Susan. I'm in awe of what you're able to do. Again, with five kids and putting your business together, putting your book out, having a smile on your face, and, you know, facing your own fears. You know, I mean, we all have them. So congratulations.
Well, thank you so much. So with that, everyone, this has been another episode of the Susan Sly Project. And if this has been a great episode for you, go ahead and give Eli and I a 5-star review. If you're watching us on YouTube, I'm the one responding to you, not an AI, not one of my team. I go and respond to your comments. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button. I'm so excited. I threw the pen. So with that, God bless. Go rock your day, and we'll see you next time.
To find out more about Susan or hire her to speak, go to www.susansly.com. You can also find Susan on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn.